Elliot Friedman. Elliot, you think there's anybody on the Colorado team that may not have liked Duchesne or the way that he went about everything in the last little while, and that may show itself in these two games?
I'm sure you'll get a couple of slashes. Not on the hands, though, because that's a penalty now. And, you know, a couple of bumps here and there. Absolutely. I think, you know, everybody tried to be political when that was over, but there was no question, there was an undercurrent of, I'm glad that he's gone and this is not happening anymore.
Yeah, it's a real, I mean, I don't recall it with when Kessler went back to Vancouver and played, but when Rick Nash went back to Columbus. You're going to hear it from fans, and it's that weird irony that obviously Matt Duchesne's not going to have to play in Denver till the 18-19 season, basically, so that gets wiped off the board right there.
Yes, and it's probably best for everybody. It was funny. I was talking to a member of the Senators, and I was saying, are you guys all jockeying to get on Duchesne's line so he can get a couple points this weekend? Because, you know, he'll be fired up. And he kind of laughed. You know, it's probably a really good and easy way for him to start. It'll be interesting because I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of pressure for that trade to look good quick right away. And I think that he'll be anxious to put on the best impression. You know, he wanted to go there. It was one of the teams he really wanted to go to, and there's no question they wanted him. It'll be interesting to see if they're better off, though. I mean, Turris is a hell of a player.
Obviously, 31 Thoughts, another good read this week. I thought thought it most interesting that Ottawa had their man. I mean, they had the deal done with Colorado to get Duchesne, and yet they had to wait on the other part for over a week, and it may not have happened. That must have been driving them nuts.
Yeah, I think it was. You know, I think it really was. And I didn't realize that until Pierre Dorion said it, that that's kind of the way it unfolded. You know, we couldn't figure out what was holding up the deal. And guys, what the issue was is that, you know, David Poile made it very clear that he did not want to give up a first-round pick of his own if Samuel Girard was part of the deal. And that's one of the reasons it fell apart initially on Friday night. And then when they started putting it together again on Saturday, that was one of the things they had to work around. And finally, you know, Girard was very important to Colorado. He was very important to them. And so they agreed that Nashville would give a second rounder instead. And I think that's also when Kamenev got part of the deal. Like, instead of the first rounder, was a second rounder, and okay, we'll give you this prospect too. And Joe Sakic was saying yesterday in Sweden that they're going to call Kamenev up right away too and have him play for them. But there's some visa issues, I guess, they had to work out for Sweden. So he couldn't play for them now, but it looks like he's going to play for them when they get back.
Elliot Friedman joining us. Brady and Price, 8:14. Hockey Hall of Fame weekend's always great. Toronto's in Boston tomorrow night. Boston in Toronto tonight. We've got that game, by the way, Sportsnet 590, The Fan at 7. And, of course, Buffalo, Montreal as well. The later games, Vancouver, San Jose, Winnipeg, Arizona. Don't forget tonight, Pittsburgh, Washington. This probably will settle the Ovechkin-Crosby debate this Friday night. I mean, we'll know for sure, really, who's had the better career. There's no telling and no telling about Austin Matthews and the injury, but I don't think it's the worst thing for him to play less than 82 games, and I sure don't think it's the worst thing for this group to play without him. I don't think the players play any differently because he's not out there, but it certainly affects the power play. It certainly affects his line mates. What did you see from a non-Matthews-less team the other night that made you go one way or the other?
Well, you know, I thought in the first period that, you know, I'm a big believer, you know, when Daryl Walker coached the Raptors, like him and I, we couldn't stand each other. But there was one line he always said that I believe was 100% true, and that is, one man's injury is another man's opportunity. And that's the way you have to look at it. It's awful for the Maple Leafs if it turns out to be a long-term thing and they don't seem overly worried about that publicly. They've got 4 days off after Saturday, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just decide to let him rest through all that. But, you know, I think you have to look at it as, okay, if he gets hurt, who's going to step up? You know, I thought Marner had a really good first period on Wednesday against Minnesota, but I simply thought the team just didn't have much after the first was over. I thought Minnesota really took over the game, and it was a night that Frederik Andersen needed to have, and you hope it was good for his confidence. You know, so I thought early I thought Marner was good, but I thought after the first period, it was Anderson who really carried them, so he didn't get a lot. I thought what was really interesting was that they kept Nylander on the wing as opposed to moving him to center. And I know the Minnesota guys felt very strongly that right now Nylander is a better winger because he's so good at hiding. And when you're a center, it's very difficult to hide. You're in the middle of the ice. You've got the puck more. Nylander is really good at, when Matthews has the puck or someone else has the puck, to find the soft spots and kill you that way. And obviously Mike Babcock felt the same. We'll see if he does anything different tonight, because like I said, they really didn't impose their will on Minnesota after the first period.
Our Hockey Insider is Elliot Friedman. It was Carey Price's injury that was an opportunity for Charlie Lindgren of Montreal. So I was kind of caught between wanting the Canadiens to win games so Lindgren would stay there and then Price would get healthy and we'd see just exactly how it would play out then in Montreal, and just having them lose all the time because I like that. But they lost last night. And so, and Carey Price,
you like them losing?
Yeah, I like them losing. I'm a longtime Habs hater, but that's okay. But,
yes,
but,
I know.
But they did lose last night, and Lindgren was in goal, and eventually Carey Price is going to come back, and he's always been such a positive individual, and you wonder where his head is at right now.
Yeah, you know, there was a game he had last year, Elliot, you'll remember. It was in Arizona, where that was like the worst game I'd ever seen him play. I remember watching it live, and I was like, ooh, what is going on here? And that was a night that Pacioretty really saved them. I think he scored in overtime to win that game. And then he had, you know, a series of games this year, including one on the road in Minnesota. And again, you were looking at him going, What is going on? And, you know, I thought they really needed to shut him down for a while. And I know, and Elliot, you know Montreal as well as anybody. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories. He's not really hurt. They're just giving him a mental break. I mean, God only knows what the truth is and what's going on out there. But he was a guy who absolutely needed a break, and Lindgren gave him the opportunity. I'm curious now, now that Lindgren's lost a game, are they going to rush Price back in, or is Lindgren going to play again tomorrow against Buffalo in what should be a winnable game for them? I mean, the other thing, too, is now you got Weber out and you got Drouin out, at least for last night, and we'll see how long that lasts. But I'm very curious to see if there's a desire to rush Price back in, or do you give Lindgren or even Montoya a bit more of a run?
So Hockey Hall of Fame, it's fun weekend. I saw Wednesday night you guys were talking. You're a big Sergei Zubov advocate. I found that chat with Darren and Doug really enjoyable. We're looking forward, I think, to Paul Kariya's speech,
yes,
right? Because, you know, and now and then you go, oh, it'd be interesting to see Chris Pronger speak and Brett Hull speak. But we're more looking for, like, hey, be entertaining and have some zingers. Kariya's more, we haven't had a Hall of Fame inductee that's a former pro that feels so at odds with the sport and with the game and how he was protected and how coach everything about that whole run in 03 felt that way. Could anything be out there, or do you think Paul says, not the right place? I don't want to be throwing darts around the room on Monday night. What do you think happens?
Well, you know, it's not only that, Greg, I think for the first time they're getting him as he kind of wants to come back in, you know, in Anaheim. For a long time, they've wanted to have him part of their alumni and as an active part of their group out there. They have constantly gone to him and said, Paul, when you are ready, we want to embrace you and we want you to be part of us. And in the last couple of years, he's finally started to come back and, you know, do the odd appearance. He'll do a hospital visit for them. He'll come to a game or two. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is when you're around Solani, like, I have to tell you, and Solani will say this, when you're around Timo Solani, it's difficult to be angry and bitter because Solani is such a positive guy. You know, Kariya was the one who was able to do it. And I know Solani's been wearing him down, and I think it's clear, and if you saw the piece that was done earlier this year, and that we've got a piece tomorrow night, and I think what's interesting about this one is they got Scott Stevens to be part of it. But I think what you see is a guy who is finally at peace or getting closer to being at peace with everything that happened and now saying, okay, here's the next chapter. And I don't think he's bitter anymore. I think he's gotten through a lot of it. I think he's clearly in a much better place now. And you know what? I hope he's around. I would have loved to have seen the player safety department hire him.
That's right.
When George Barros was talking about a skilled player to be part of it, I wish he would have been that guy. But it sounds like, Greg, that what was ailing him in terms of his mood has sort of passed him, and he's good with where he is, and he's ready to embrace the sport again. And you know who's been a key part of that has been Eric Lindros, another guy who could have been really bitter but chose not to be. And I think the two of them have kind of pulled each other through, and the game needs Paul Kariya in it, and it looks like he's going to deliver.